Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on November 30th, 2020, from my home studio here in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a look at Nancy Mace's transition into Congresswoman Mace, what House lawmakers will do when they return to town on Tuesday. We hear from Tom Barkin of the Richmond Fed on what he sees happening in 2021 and what jobs are currently in demand. Dr. Anthony Fauci warns of a surge upon a surge, and we hear from a COVID-19 survivor on what's keeping her going. And we also find out how much people will be spending this holiday season. And Merriam-Webster has our word of the year. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world, specifically if you're going to buy a real or an artificial Christmas tree this year, or how you're going to be doing your holiday shopping. We want to know. 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 4,077 confirmed deaths, and currently there are 203,659 confirmed cases being reported in all 46 counties as of November 30th at 4 p.m. So, two new disturbing markers we're looking at there. We are above 4,000 deaths and above 200,000 cases. Our percent positive rate is up to 18%. And hospitalizations are continuing to increase. Currently, 925 patients are hospitalized with COVID-19 in the state, 237 are in intensive care, and 112 are on ventilators. So these are September-like numbers here. The light is flashing red here, folks. We have to be aware, we have to slow this down, because acute hospital bed occupancy by region remains, however, in the mid-70% range, and we don't want to see that going any higher. Some hospitals are already experiencing some heavy surge, so really be aware of this. Be aware of what your actions result in terms of how it affects medical professionals and others around you. Let's make it easier this holiday season for everybody. We're going to lead off our politics section with some hot DC gossip. On November 22nd, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Carl Bernstein of Watergate fame tweeted out a list of 21 Republican senators that, in conversations with colleagues, staff members, lobbyists, and White House aides, have repeatedly expressed extreme contempt for President Trump and his fitness to be president. One of those senators was Tim Scott. Now, the Scott camp denies the charge, according to the state newspaper. Sticking with D.C., Victoria Hansen with South Carolina Public Radio has this report on Congresswoman-elect Nancy Mace as she transitions from state representative to representing the 1st Congressional District.
Fresh off an interview with Fox News.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me on this afternoon.
You bet. Congratulations.
Republican Congresswoman-elect Nancy Mace talks to us by phone before heading to Washington for orientation to serve South Carolina's 1st Congressional District.
It still feels a little surreal. We made possible what so many said was going to be impossible to do.
The 42-year-old state representative beat incumbent Congressman Joe Cunningham, who also did what was thought to be impossible 2 years ago, becoming the first Democrat to represent the district in 40 years. He won by fewer than 4,000 votes. Republicans have wanted to take back the seat ever since, and once again, it was close. Mace believes she outworked the popular 38-year-old congressman, who early polls had favored to win.
Everyone coming together, knocking on doors, making phone calls, helping us text.
The Goose Creek native and single mother of two claimed victory the day after the election at a Waffle House in Ladson along busy College Park Road. Her voice quivered as she spoke about the significance of that place.
And, 25 years ago, when I dropped out of school at the age of 17, this is where my first job was. And at that time in my life, I didn't know what my future would hold.
Mace says she learned some tough lessons and worked hard before enrolling in Charleston's once all-male military school, the Citadel, becoming the first female to graduate from its Corps of Cadets. Now Mace is marking another first, the first Republican woman to be elected to Congress from South Carolina. She says she was propelled by an all-female millennial team, including campaign manager Mara Mellstrom.
No one will outwork Nancy Mace, flat out.
Political scientist Dr. Gibbs Knotts at the College of Charleston admits he thought Cunningham would win, but he knew it would be close.
For Nancy Mace, it was being a strong candidate, having an impressive biography, running a good campaign, but also being able to benefit from a little bit of coattails from Donald Trump.
And he says the Republican candidates in both the 1st Congressional District and the U.S. Senate race hammered home a message that served them well. They painted their opponents as liberals.
And it was a smart strategy by both Lindsey Graham and Nancy Mace to nationalize the race and to connect their opponents with the National Democratic Party. It hurt them in a conservative place like South Carolina.
Then there was the pandemic, which became highly politicized, with Democrats like Cunningham cautiously holding virtual events, while Republicans like Mace continue to meet in person. Dr. Knotts says while Democrats tried to be responsible, they may have paid a price. Mace says she knocked on 1,000 doors the week before the election.
To go door to door and talk to people individually to hear what's on their heart and their mind, nothing beats that.
Now Mace is beating the streets in our nation's capital, getting acquainted with congressional life, and sharing the experience on social media.
And I got to tell you, I joked with someone earlier, it's kind of like freshman hazing. I actually got lost everywhere I went and was trying to go, and I would have to ask interns or staff or security how to get from point A to point B.
The woman who once served customers at a Lowcountry Waffle House is getting ready to serve constituents in Washington.
Thanks, Vic. And Mace tweeted Monday that she was back in Washington for her second week of new member orientation. We'll be keeping up with Mace and other members of the delegation in Washington over the coming months. The 117th Congress gets sworn in January 3rd. And we leave our politics section looking at Columbia. Here's looking at you, Columbia. The South Carolina House returns Tuesday for an organizational session. House members will be doing perfunctory things like electing officers. We don't expect any real shakeups there. They'll also pick new seats in the chamber, get new parking spots perhaps, and even shift offices if need be. Now, committees will also be organized Tuesday and Wednesday, with new chairmen being elected or re-elected to the 13 standing committees, of which three chairmanships are vacant: Judiciary, Rules, and Invitations and Memorial Resolutions. Judiciary also has six vacancies. Speaker Jay Lucas, who is expected to remain Speaker, determines which members are assigned to those committees. We're starting our business section off with a little holiday shopping fast fact. Gallup finds consumers are estimating they will spend, on average, $852 on Christmas gifts, which is nearly identical to the $846 they projected at the same time last year. Now, this is higher than what consumers said back in October. As is almost always the case, though, the largest segment of Americans, 57%, say they will spend about the same on gifts, while a larger proportion say they will spend less, about 28%, rather than more, 15%. How much are you spending? Did you spend less on Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, or Giving Tuesday? Let us know what you're doing, how you're doing your holiday shopping, and what I should buy, because we are consumers, and that is our job as Americans, to consume. Tell us at 803-563-7169. We want to know. And also, curveball, let us know if you are an artificial or a real Christmas tree person. We need to know these things, people. And finally, in our business section, especially for you absolute econ freaks out there, wondering what our favorite Federal Reserve Bank president is up to, Tom Barkin, well, we got some news for you, folks. The University of South Carolina continued its 40th annual Economic Outlook Series Monday with a keynote address from Richmond Federal Reserve Bank president and CEO, Tom Barkin. The Richmond Fed encompasses South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, D.C., and West Virginia. Now, Barkin, start off by talking about the major economic bellwether, unemployment, and what it looks like right now.
Jobs are still down 6.6% versus pre-COVID levels. There are 10.1 million fewer jobs in this country today than there were in February. And people don't quite focus on this because the rate has come down so fast, but that's actually worse than the numbers were at the very bottom of the Great Recession, where we were down only 6.3% in jobs. So we're down 6.6% now. At the depths of the Great Recession, we're down 6.3. What's going on there? Well, businesses are running at constrained capacity. Others are understandably cautious and have taken the opportunity to streamline their operations. And you all know leisure and hospitality employment is down a ton, 21%. Now, despite elevated unemployment, I'm still hearing from workers, especially in manufacturing, technology, and healthcare, that they can't find workers. Keep hearing from employers that they can't find workers. And some of that is due to a drop in labor force participation. It was 63% before the crisis. It's down to 61.7% today. In other words, if you kept participation constant, unemployment wouldn't be 6.9%. It would be 9.4%.
So a quick recap right there, 10.1 million fewer jobs than in February. Worse than the numbers when we were at the depths of the Great Recession. And here we are in our recovery, and our job numbers are still at levels worse than the Great Recession. You heard Barkin talking about manufacturing, technology, and healthcare being in-demand fields. So that's something to look into if you're looking for a job or know someone who is. But what does the future look like through Barkin's eyes?
So I mentioned uncertainty. We've been talking about uncertainty all year. But for me, and I know it may be risky to say this, I think the future has finally come into somewhat clearer focus. First, let's talk about the virus. I'd hoped it'd be behind us, but the recent escalation in cases to more than 170,000 per day versus its prior peaks of 32,000 in April and 67,000 in July make me believe we still have a way to go. Governments may well be reluctant to shut the economy down again, but consumers have the ability to do quite enough on their own. Sentiment has flattened, and while I haven't seen big impact in the real-time numbers I track, I am watching consumer spending closely. On the positive side, I expect to see a vaccine approved by year-end, giving us some daylight on the horizon. But as best as I can tell, a broad enough rollout to make us fully comfortable interacting in personal commerce again might not be until sometime this summer, at best. On the fiscal side, divided government looks quite likely to me. Many businesses like legislative stalemate and believe it promotes the certainty that supports investment. On the other hand, while there may be one more targeted stimulus to come, we seem much more likely to be revisiting fiscal prudence over the coming months. Many people ask me about inflation, but inflation's hard to find in the numbers. Over the last 10 years, it's been 1.5%. Reminder, our target is 2%. The price level actually fell slightly from February to April before rebounding strongly over the summer, especially for items in short supply like food or lumber or cars. But it's moderated recently, and over the last 12 months, core PCE inflation remains at 1.4%. Some worry that our balance sheet and the size of our balance sheet will escalate inflation, but now that we pay interest on reserves, I don't see it as printing money. I think of it more as trading short-term debt for longer duration debt. Others worry that there's too much stimulus in the system, both monetary and fiscal. But we had the same concerns 10 years ago here, and also in Europe and Japan.
So things to keep an eye out for: consumer spending, when the vaccine will be approved, and how that rollout will affect confidence in things like travel and tourism come next summer. How a possible divided government, which he's referencing to the fate of the Senate, might work, and potentially clamping down on government spending. So these are all things to be looking out for in 2021. And we'll have more from other economists on how South Carolina is doing in Saturday's podcast. Hint, we're faring better than other states. We have a surplus, but still have troubling amounts of unemployment in the leisure and hospitality industry. A lot more about all that in Saturday's podcast. On Sunday, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, was on ABC's This Week and said he expects the next few weeks to be worrisome, saying, quote, "We may see a surge upon a surge," quote. He continued to say that, quote, "You know, we don't want to frighten people, but that's just the reality. We said that these things would happen as we get into the cold weather and as we began traveling, and they've happened. It's going to happen again," quote. You can prevent it from happening by increasing your social distancing, people. Our numbers are going up. Now, they're not skyrocketing, but they are up and they are steadily increasing, which will be horrible for hospitals and medical professionals. So please, please be aware. Increase your social distancing, limit your interactions, and get your flu shot. Wash your hands. Stay home. Now, moving from our econ freaks to our logophiles, which, if you know what that means, oh, you know what that means. Merriam-Webster's word of the year is pandemic. Sad. Not surprising, sad. The dictionary company said the following in their statement about the word of the year, saying, "Sometimes a single word defines an era, and it's fitting that in this exceptional and exceptionally difficult year, a single word came immediately to the fore as we examine the data that determines what our word of the year will be. Based upon a statistical analysis of words that are looked up in extremely high numbers in our online dictionary, while also showing a significant year-over-year increase in traffic, Merriam-Webster's word of the year for 2020 is pandemic. The first big spike in dictionary lookups for pandemic took place on February 3rd, the same day that the first COVID-19 patient in the U.S. was released from a Seattle hospital." That's interesting. Now, that day, pandemic was looked up 1,621% more than it had been a year previous. But close inspection of the dictionary data shows that searches for the word had begun to tick up consistently starting on January 20th, the date of the first positive case in the U.S. Let's really dig down and get into the etymology. My favorite dish. Now, do you know what pandemic is? What it really means? What it is? The definition of it? Use it in a sentence for me. I'll give you the definition. It's an outbreak of a disease that occurs over a wide geographic area, such as multiple countries or continents, and typically affects a significant proportion of the population. Now, the Greek roots of this word tell a clear story. Pan means all or every, and demos means people. Its literal meaning is of all the people. The related word epidemic comes from roots that mean on or upon the people. The two words are used in ways that overlap, but in general usage, a pandemic is an epidemic that has escalated to affect a large area and population. But before we get out of this word part, I want to mention, bring it back to your attention, the hubbub around the word irregardless. Now, irregardless, if you think it is a word or not, it has been in Merriam-Webster's dictionary since 1934. So they've called it a word since the 30s, folks. It just garnered a lot of attention this year when actress Jamie Lee Curtis falsely asserted on Twitter that the word had just been entered into the dictionary. It's a rough year, I know. Now, it may be a word, but my Microsoft Word has it underlined and suggests I replace it with the word regardless. I suggest you do the same, folks. Now, with all that wordplay out of the way, let's get to a survivor story, someone that has gone through this pandemic itself. Now, 5 months, much of it out of work, some of it out of school, all with a household to run, and all with a family whose children already had physical and mental health conditions, Katie Durkee is not your average survivor. She's almost downright chipper. And Scott Morgan with South Carolina Public Radio has this report.
Katie Durkee lives in Fort Mill with her husband and two teenage children. She takes her life one day at a time.
Because there's no other way to do it. If you thought long term, you would melt under the pressure. And if you keep going backwards, there's no point.
The thing to know is this is not some trite corporate networking pep talk. This is Katie Durkee's life. As the mother of two teens with physical and mental health issues, as a survivor of COVID-19, and as the mother of a survivor of COVID-19.
I got it like the second week of March or the third week of March, and he got it about a week after me. We were not the 2 week people. It took me 5 months to get back to 100%.
And it began, like it has for so many, with something she thought was something else.
It started off as like a sore throat, and I thought, this is probably just allergies, don't panic. But I made a fatal mistake. I went to CVS and loaded up on stuff at CVS for coughs and colds and that stuff.
About a week after her trip to the pharmacy, Durkee's throat got worse, her mouth dried out, she started getting migraines.
And then I got food poisoning, which wasn't food poisoning. On day 10, it hit my chest, and I was so fatigued. It was vertigo, migraine, I couldn't even open an email.
And then there was her son, who through much of the summer between 10th and 11th grades suffered through
tachycardia and muscle pain. It comes with a lot of back pain and neck pain. And I mean, there isn't a piece of you that doesn't hurt at some point, but it migrates around.
Durkee's son also has ADHD and a condition that limits glucose delivery to the brain. It generally leaves him with what Durkee refers to as brain fog. Her daughter, in 10th grade, did not contract COVID. She's anxious about getting it, but Durkee's son is actually doing well mentally from having gone through it.
I think he has an expectation of what it is now, and he doesn't want it again, but I think he understands what it is more than the other one. The other one hasn't had it yet and saw me just very sick, and it was a long time.
So there is plenty to keep on top of in the Durkee household. COVID has upended school schedules and kept the specter of the disease in the shadows for the kids. And in that sense, Katie Durkee, as the mother of children who need extra care, is still dealing with the side effects of the coronavirus.
The stresses of being the piggy in the middle has become exponentially harder. Managing everybody else's stresses leaves you in a situation where you don't have the, you know, there is no room for you to have a meltdown. So you as the parent have to manage it. You have no choice.
But the pandemic's talent for throwing lives into chaos didn't really change the way the Durkees have lived for a long time now.
I already worked at home. My husband was working at home and then went back to the office. And then as soon as COVID hit, they sent everybody home again very quickly. The difference for us has been the kids have been here. But we didn't just suddenly become those people. We've had 15 years to be these people.
Not that it's been entirely smooth. Durkee's kids are still kids, after all, and getting them through school, home or not, takes some effort on everybody's part. Nevertheless, and despite the rough waters, Katie Durkee sees a certain bright spot on humanity's horizon resulting from this pandemic: empathy.
Having a really good job and then having your mortgage and all those things tied to that really good job is terrifying. It terrifies me. So I feel like more people are going to have these same waking up in the middle of the night panicking about these things, because that unpredictability is now hitting everybody. It's like a little bit of an epiphany on how we've all had to adapt and how maybe that understanding for the world of people who were already struggling before this started, that might change a little. We can hope.
Thank you, Scott. And real quick before we leave, Moderna filed paperwork on Monday with the FDA for emergency use authorization for its vaccine after its 30,000-person clinical trial found the vaccine was 94% effective at preventing illness, according to the Washington Post. All 30 severe cases of COVID-19 in the trial were within the group that received a placebo, the biotechnology company said. Now, on December 10th, the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine will be vetted, and Moderna's will be considered a week later on December 17th. Welcome to our wind down section, our little break from the news. We talk about life during the pandemic and want to hear your stories as well. How you're handling things, how often you're getting tested for COVID-19, if you've tested positive, are you unemployed, or are you picking up a second job during the holiday season? Do you like artificial or real Christmas trees? Are you spending more, less, or the same as last year? What are your go-to gifts? Please tell us. 803-563-7169. We want to know how you're doing things this holiday season, how your Thanksgiving was, and more. Leave us a message no longer than 3 minutes with your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on. 803-563-7169. AT, do we have any voicemails?
Sadly, no. No one wanted to call while they were eating Thanksgiving dinner and singing their favorite Thanksgiving hymns with their family. So we have no calls. So
well, we can talk about some other important holidays, I guess.
What could you possibly be referencing? Because right now we're in this middle period.
Yes,
where
we are.
It's Thanksgiving has just ended, mm-hmm. and Christmas has not yet begun. To me,
well,
it's the last day of November. So what are you talking about?
You don't know, but there are multiple holidays going on right now. But I will say before we start, aren't you glad that all the political advertising is off the air so we can focus on the right things? This Volvo Wonder of Winter.
And the things that really matter here? And
before we start, can I just please be the first one to wish you a happy Honda Days? Did you even know it was Honda Days?
Yeah, my family has a long history of celebrating Honda Days. My parents actually have two RAV4s.
Wow.
So
every
Honda Day, every other day of the week, we go in and we eat our meals in the RAV4s.
Wow. See, now I've never celebrated, but I think it's true that you're celebrating a new holiday this year.
Yes, yes, it correct. This is my first year because I got the Tacoma, the Yoda taco. It's my first year celebrating Toyota-thon.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm sweating.
I celebrated many years at Toyota-thons until my 4Runner was T-boned. And then I had to start celebrating the VW Sign Then Drive event, which I participated in December 26, 2016.
But that's a year-round event,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that happens. It's very
it's agnostic. Yeah, it's a non-secular thing. But yeah. I have a little bit of Toyota experience because my wife, she does drive a Lexus. So we have been celebrating the Lexus December to Remember for some time now.
That's encouraging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys do anything special for that? Like go in the driveway and get the bow?
We put ornaments all over her car every day. And it costs a lot. It's a lot of money and it's a drain on our bank account. It's a problem.
I don't know if I should bring this up or not because you used to celebrate the mini season of drive with your Mini Cooper. Is it difficult this year?
It's hard. It's like a member of the family is gone for me. Mm. And I just don't know. I've been crying myself to sleep night after night.
I think you'll realize that Toyota-thon is very fulfilling.
I hope so. I mean, the Yoda really has to pull through. There's a lot of emotional weight that I had invested in that little mini car. And I mean, it's just... I hope that this December to Remember really helps me.
You know, it is important to remember this December, especially while driving your Lexus luxury vehicle. But speaking of luxury vehicles, AT, your family has also participated previously in the Unwrap a Jaguar sales event, if I'm not mistaken. Jaguar.
Namaste. Yes. We love Jaguars here. I have a very, very old Jag. It is my grandmother's old car that I have. And I've been at that for 30 some odd years.
Wow. Very low key celebration.
I'm a day one. That's one of my day one cars. I asked for it when I was 3, baby.
And then you got it.
Yeah.
During the Jaguar sales event.
I know some of my friends will say that's not right. You shouldn't be celebrating that. You got to do Hyundai holidays or the Mercedes winter event. Mm. But I'm like,
Unwrap a Jaguar sales event.
They're trying to get you to call it a winter event, and it's not. Mm. It is a happy Honda Days Toyota-thon time of year.
Maybe some of our callers can let us know because I've never personally participated in this one, but a Chevy Red Tag sales event. Is that
seems to be glorifying the tag, which is disgusting to me. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not right. You shouldn't be able to do that.
Yes. That's totally wrong. Understandable. Celebrate the vehicle, please. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's always, you know, when we talk about this and I had a big road trip earlier, you know, it just reminds you of the BMW Road Home sales event. You know, it's that beautiful BMW Road Home sales event for that ultimate driving machine, which, you know, Meg Kinnard, She has
Meg,
that every
let
day.
Let us know. Let us know. You know. Every day she's celebrating this. It's just a little bit every day. I mean, those BMWs, they're so fuel efficient. It looked like she only had one night of gas and it stretched to 8 nights of gas. So it was a miracle if you ask me.
It's a diesel. She has a diesel, that X-Type.
It's a diesel, baby. If anything, this really hits home to me about how much the brands are our family, you know?
Yes.
The brands, they're just one of us, and they shouldn't pay taxes.
They are people, technically.
They're people, okay? The brands are people.
Right? Didn't we have that one report earlier in the year when we were talking about how people become so brand loyal, and it's like Amazon and such? I mean...
Prime Day, whatever.
Which is just really fake, if you ask me.
Anyway, Gavin, how are you celebrating Toyota-thon or your
sign
VW
drive
day? Do you have a real or fake holiday seasonally appropriate
before tree. Before we get out of this, AT, I just want to say that we talk about all this. We're joking here, course. But, you know, love is what's most important during this holiday season.
Yes.
And one place you'll definitely find love is at the Subaru Share the Love event where you can get 0% APR financing on select new 2021 models like the 2021 Subaru Outback. Now...
Love is what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
You know, it's where family is. When you're here, you're a Subaru.
When you're here, you're going to look good in your Subaru. Yeah. Anyway, Gavin, you've been prompting our callers a million times in this episode to tell us real or fake tree, real or fake tree. So where do you weigh in?
Real fake.
Where do you reel in? So where do you land on
things this? Things changed for me. I want to just really get personal. Things really changed for me last year.
Open up. Open up.
I was always getting the real thing, the real Christmas tree. With the needles and the smell and the authenticity and the supporting local. There's this, I went to Gardner's Outpost and I always get it.
I love the needles. I love the smell.
I mean, I don't spend that much December in South Carolina, you know, because I mean, I do, but I'm not maybe in my house as much, you know. So,
And it was you're an outdoors kind of guy.
Well, you know,
you're communing with nature.
I'm in my Volkswagen, sign then drive. I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah, you sign and you drive.
So I always had like, you know, it was always like the big selling point of my Christmas parties besides the fun and debauchery is that there was a real Christmas tree on premises.
Yes.
And that changed last year.
The hedonistic Dionysus style debauchery at Gavin Jackson's.
That changed last year when it was 70s disco Christmas. That was the theme of the party. So I got a fake Christmas tree, which you can do very affordably. And I did. And now I'm going to start I was thinking about spray painting it every year, just give it a different color, a different sheen. But no, so I just decided to go fake, get a 6-footer, $20 at Walmart. And the best part is you decorate it all. I do. And then I take it, put it in my hallway closet and left it all year. And so this year I opened my hallway closet door, moved all my crap out of the way. You know, you accumulate things throughout the year.
Yeah.
And then just plopped it down in my living room. And now I'm done.
I got a question.
Go ahead, caller.
You've been spending. Go ahead. First time, long time. So you've been recording a lot of these episodes from a closet.
Yes.
All pandemic for months now. Do you relate to this,
this tree?
Closeted tree now?
Yeah.
Do you wish you just left them out all year round to just breathe and thrive?
Yeah, you know, that's the beauty of having artificial trees that you can celebrate all year long if you wish. If
you don't
want to, you know, if you want to keep your tree out all year, you can do that.
These trees, they aren't ephemeral and dying.
I put it on the front
entropy
porch.
Entropy does not exist for these.
Yeah, it's not natural.
Oh, I throw him in the backyard and he just goes crazy.
He goes native. He tries to fit in with his native species.
Well, I'm a real tree guy. Yeah.
We always had a real tree growing up. So, I mean, this is just
real.
This is convenient.
You got to be real.
Yeah.
Got to be real.
Only one
That's
tree,
That's all
though.
I got to say.
Only one tree. I haven't got to like two trees. Maybe
what
this
do you
year
mean,
I got
two
a second
trees?
Tree.
Who has more trees?
AT, you are going to... get a lot of angry phone calls if we go
what
down
do
that path.
One
South
tree
Carolinians
only.
Have at least two trees in their home.
Really?
You're true South Carolinian? Yes. Oh yes.
Okay.
At least two. Two states, one team.
Two trees, one cup. I don't know.
Cut that out. And then really quick, how are you doing your holiday shopping? Are you just going to do online? Any thoughts trying to support the small business?
I've already bought your present. It is inappropriate.
Can't even mention it.
Can't even mention it here.
I think I'll get you some golf stuff to be basic.
I don't quite care. That's fine. I buy presents for my friends because I like giving. I like giving more than receiving, bud.
Yeah. It sounds like the Mercedes sales event.
Yeah.
Winter event. I'm sorry.
This is the Land Rover giving versus receiving sales event. So I do most of it online anyway, but I'll look around and if I know there's someone local that I can go get it at, I'll go do that.
Yeah, I am. I've been doing a lot of online stuff too. I will say this. I went to the mall the other day. I didn't tell many people
Freakish.
About this.
Disgusting.
I went to the mall.
Disgusting.
Everyone had their masks on. It was okay. I don't know why I was there. I think I was trying to, I don't know what I was looking for. But
you went for the food court, baby.
I was wandering through
Belk.
I was in the Belks, and I'm on my mobile phone. You know, my mobile. I'm on my phone.
On your Kyocera.
You know, I only have like 100 minutes a month, so I'm making it quick.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, and maybe this sales representative didn't see that I was on the phone, but he like said, "Oh, hey, kind of." And I just turned. I'm like, "I'm on the phone, sir." This is a mobile phone.
Hey,
I am on the phone right now. I could be on the phone anywhere, and here you are. Anyway, I did not need any help because I was just browsing, which is what I always say.
Anyway, they're fired now.
Yeah,
and,
so, I mean, sorry, happy Honda days, sir.
But get out of here, all right?
So let us know how you're celebrating the BMW Road Home sales event or the Lexus December to Remember, any of these wonderful holidays. can't even say that with a straight face.
They're the truest, really, the truest form of love and devotion and to anything. It's a beautiful consuming.
Beautiful four-way stop.
You can't forget season. About consuming, guys.
So thanks again, everyone, for listening. Let us know what you're doing this holiday season at 803-563-7169. And you can also show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on iTunes. Stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Hopefully you got a subscription on Cyber Monday. There was a lot of great sales out there. So get a subscription to your local newspaper. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Giving Tuesday, folks. Give back to ETV. We have a pledge drive going on, and membership starts at just $40. And if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. I will say I did just look on my PBS Passport and start watching the show, the docudrama series, Rise of the Nazis. So very interesting there if you haven't checked it out on PBS Passport. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Be peeking up above that six, baby. You want to see a little bit. You want to see a little bit of red
above the six. You want to see a little above the red, and that's where you know you need to take it out of the oven and let it rest.
That's natural. That's natural. Everybody starts to see stuff in the red. Okay.
It's okay. It will go down. It'll go down.
Just ask to be excused.